One day, about 6 years ago, I and a bunch of fellow travelers were coming off a cruise ship in Vietnam. We had docked at Saigon City cruise port in Phu Mai and were coming off the ship for an extended tour of Saigon and the surrounding areas, which was about 80 miles away. Most of us were a bit nervous about disembarking in Vietnam that day. Some of those of our group had been stationed in South Vietnam back during the war. And while many were a bit nervous about returning to the country, most of those jitters had been smoothed over in our visit to Hai Long Bay and Hanoi the previous day. Now, most of them were excited to see what all had changed
and what had remained the same over the decades. I was excited because this was the place where my Uncle Bo had served in the armed forces and where he had died back in 1967, just a few days after I was born. The group I was with had just come down the gangway from the ship and were walking wide-eyed into the terminal, when right in front of us was a line of stern-faced, no-nonsense-looking, angry, heavily armed soldiers shouldering AK-47s and others brandishing PM-63 machine gun pistols. They didn't look happy. They didn't smile. They weren't polite. The officer at the head of the group started barking orders at us. As we came towards them, some were directed towards the right where there were tables and people, and others were directed off towards the left where there were other tables and other people. They were splitting us up. And it was hard to see a rhyme or reason why. It wasn't obvious.
On the outside, while they were choosing some to go to the right and the others to go to the left, it almost looked like random. We were being divvied up for passport control and inspection. When it came to be my turn, I had been distracted by an upset husband and wife couple, friends of mine, cruising friends from the ship, who were being separated. And he was going to one table and she was going to the other. And they didn't want to be separated, but they were being told, you go here and you go here. When suddenly, a soldier, as I was veering out of the way, the soldier stopped me and said, hey, you in the black shirt, to the left. After I'd gotten through passport control and we'd all reunited at boarding the bus, where the guides and were all politeness and smiles, I had a moment to reflect on the experience and I found myself laughing. The command, hey you, is not something you want to hear when waiting in line for the final judgment at the throne of Christ. Hey you, to the left. No, you don't want to hear that one. You want to hear to the right, not to the left. It's just not something that you want to hear. One of the things that struck me in this experience was that at the time, none of us knew why we were being directed either to the right or to the left. Likewise, the sheep and the goats in the story today are having trouble figuring it out. Now keep in mind, the term sheep and goats reflects a metaphor. We're not actually talking about real sheep and goats, friends. It's not obvious to them on the surface why they're being separated, why they're being divvied up to the right and to the left, though it's clear that the shepherd knows what the shepherd's doing. And of course, one wants to keep the sheep and the goats separated so that they don't harm each other if they start to fight. Goats and sheep have different fighting styles. A goat will rise up on its hind legs to attack. And when the goat is doing that, a sheep will lower its head and ram it. And that can often hurt the goat tremendously. So shepherds will try to separate the sheep and the goats to keep them safe from each other for their own protection. In Vietnam, it wasn't obvious to us there at the cruise port while we were being separated. The separation just occurred. It was only later that we found out, much later in that day, that we found out that some were being identified for extra screening because they looked like they might be old enough to have served in Vietnam. Even though I wasn't nearly old enough, I'd been identified in that group too. Whoa, that was kind of scary. There are two things I want to note in today's passage. The first is that this is a story of the end. Matthew 25 has had a couple of these parables already. We've heard them the last couple of Sundays, the parable of the bridesmaids and the parable of the talents. The theme in these is to be prepared and to apply yourself. For the bridesmaids, it's be prepared with enough oil, with enough spiritual discipline to last a long time until the bridegroom arrives. Because it's going to be longer than you expect. The wait's going to be much longer than you expect. For the parable of the talents, it's apply the gifts that you've been given. Don't hide them, don't bury them, don't neglect them. Use them, apply them, grow them, improve upon them, so that when the master returns, you'll have improved and grown the gifts and will be given more. Today, we have the third story, the final story, the last teaching of Jesus in Matthew's gospel prior to the Passover, the Last Supper, his arrest, his trial, his conviction, his crucifixion, his death, and yes, his resurrection. We have Jesus painting a picture of the final judgment of all people. The Son of Man, Jesus, has returned and is sitting on his throne. And we're all there, my friends, sheep and goats, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous, believers and unbelievers. Every single one of us is there. And we're being divvied up. And yes, you don't want to hear you go to the left. You want to hear go over here to the right. I'm reminded of that song from Vacation Bible School. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Remember that? Don't want to be a goat, nope. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Haven't got any hope. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Right? Y'all are dead. You want to be a sheep? They're asleep over here. You want to be a sheep?
Yeah.
You want to be a goat?
No.
Good. Good. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. That's what we hope. But that brings to me the second thing that I want to take note of today. You see, the sheep and the goats are both surprised by the division. They're both surprised by what Jesus says when he says, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now that's what you want to hear, friends. I hope they weren't really surprised by that piece. It's the next piece that gets them. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. They're shocked. They don't remember that. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and he gave you food? When was it that we saw you thirsty and gave you something to drink? We don't remember when we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing. We don't recall that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you. They didn't remember helping him. They didn't remember doing any of this. They didn't realize that they were doing it to him when they did it for others. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Wow. They had no way of knowing. They didn't realize it, that by reaching out and helping others, they were reaching out and helping Christ himself. Sadly, the same is true for the goats, but in reverse. you that are accursed. This is what you don't want to hear, friends. You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't want to hear that. Why do they hear it? For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. But Lord, they said, when did we see you in any of these conditions and ignore you, pass you by, didn't help you, didn't take care of you? If we'd only known it was you, Jesus, we would have helped. I'm reminded of that line from Godspell. If we'd only known it was you, Jesus, we would have taken you out for some lamb chops. Truly, I tell you, Jesus says, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. The righteous didn't know that they were helping Jesus when they were helping those in need. The accursed didn't know that when they walked by those in trouble and disregarded their need and left them to fend for themselves, they were walking past Jesus. Salvation, eternal life, paradise, they're all dependent upon how one lives one's life towards others in the here and now. It takes us back to Jesus' definition and identification of the two greatest commandments that we heard about many weeks ago. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you were truly doing both, you would be sheep. Now, Greg, I'm not sure I like that. I'm a good Protestant. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by doing the works of the law. My friends, this isn't about doing the works of the law. This isn't about keeping the dietary regulations or the purity laws. This isn't about keeping even the Ten Commandments. This is about depending upon God's grace and living by faith. Faith is an action. It's not a passive set of beliefs. It's not a collection of doctrines. It's a way of life. It's a way of responding to God. It's a way of treating others. That's what Jesus taught. And that's how Jesus lived. The faith isn't a collection of doctrines, and salvation isn't getting an A on the exam. The faith is a way of life. Who you know, who you serve, who you trust, and who you help. And salvation is living that life here today and on into eternity. As we step out of this church year, and this is the last Sunday of the church year, friends, as we step out of this church year and into the next, as we move to next Sunday in the season of Advent, a time when we prepare for the annual celebration of the incarnation and birth of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, there is no better time to realize that the way that baby lived, the things that that baby said and did, are the ways and the things that we should do and how we should live in our daily living today. How that baby grew up to relate to God. How that baby grew up to teach others about the love of God by his words and his deeds is how we should live too. With the indwelling presence of God in our lives, sharing the love of God with all. I am truly thankful, deeply thankful, for the joy of being part of the family of God, the family of faith, where I am told, "You there, go to the right." Even though I know I don't deserve it. I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh, am I in the wrong clothes? I know I've been goaty at times. And I probably ought to go to the left." But Jesus, in His love and in His forgiveness, God in God's grace, says, "Go to the left." Excuse me, go to the right, not to the left. God in God's grace, God in God's love, God in God's forgiveness says to us, "Go to the right and enter into eternity." Oh, my friends, we've been given a calling to live. The Christian life is not just a set of beliefs, not just a set of affirmations of faith. It is a way of living, a relationship with God and with neighbor, a way of sharing God's love with others, a way that Jesus describes to us and shows us with His teachings and His preachings, in His many parables, in His healings, in His feeding of the 5,000, in His raising of Lazarus from the dead, in His forgiving those, when He's dying on the cross, forgiving those who were in the very act of murdering Him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Christian life, the life of a sheep, is one of living as Jesus calls us to live, by faith, with hope, sharing God's love for all. As we move off now towards Advent, and through on Advent, the four Sundays of Advent, to Christmas, and our celebration yet again of the incarnation and birth of Jesus, let us give thanks and praise to God for the joy, the privilege, the grace we have received in living as part of God's family. I pray that when we sing, "I just want to be a sheep and I don't want to be a goat," that we would do it with faith, open to God's grace, empowered by God's love, sharing it with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen.
In your presence.